Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon.
Hello, everybody.
Good afternoon, everybody, from sunny Ramsgate. Even though the temperatures are dropping, are we still happy?
We're still happy.
Yes, this is
Rosie War
and Clara Gibson with Expressions of Women's Lives, Happiness and Creativity. And today we are focusing on
happiness itself.
Indeed.
It's a complicated subject, actually, happiness. It's not as straightforward as you'd think. It's not just about having a belly laugh, is it, Clara?
Well, it isn't. And is it a choice?
Well, I would say it's almost a skill.
A skill, yes. Right. But some people don't think that, do they? Some people think that happiness is something that happens to them because the situation is right.
Because their context or their circumstance dictates it, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the very beginning. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. I think it's because Clara's a singer, you see. I try to impress her, it's tragic.
Yeah.
Anyway, I always come along with my definitions, and Clara's very so kind. She says, oh, go on then, throw in your definition.
Yes, I indulge Rosie, but she's actually very good at checking the multitudes, yes, indeed.
But the definition of happiness,
According to
the Wikipedia definition of all things.
Oh, yes, and that is entirely dependent upon who put the information in.
That's
as
true.
Is all things.
Indeed, indeed. Is a state of being happy that can include contentment, pleasure, satisfaction, merriment, gaiety, joy, joyfulness, delight, well-being, that's a critical one, enjoyment, and felicity. What a beautiful word, felicity.
Oh, felicity. I thought felicity was like honesty.
Well, perhaps, I don't know, we'll have to investigate that one further, I think.
So can you be happy untruthfully?
Well, actually, that's a really important point that you make there, actually. I've actually written, scratched down on a bit of paper, staying authentic. And I actually think that that's part of the difficulties we have with continuously saying to ourselves, oh, gosh, I must be happy. Look at my lovely circumstances. Oh, you know, I've got this and I've got that. I must cherish everything that I've got so that I can sustain my happiness when we're actually possibly a bit sad on the inside.
Yes, but it is interesting, though, isn't it? Because we know that if you smile, and you can make yourself smile.
Right.
You know, so you smile and your biochemistry will change.
Yes.
To the positive. And we also know that because our brain, our unconscious mind, doesn't know the difference between what is correct and what is not correct. So we could tell ourselves that we're happy. And actually, if we told ourselves that we're happy often enough, our unconscious mind would actually accept it.
Ah, so this is the idea behind, you know, the morning, you've got these rituals.
Affirmations,
that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Clara. So if you ritualize those affirmations and start the day in a positive way, or at least identify what's fabulous, it becomes a routine that gets programmed into your psyche somehow.
I mean, because remember last week, it's your wonderful day, Rosie's lovely day,
Creative Women.
Does it seem a long time ago?
It does, about 5 years ago.
But it was only 7 days. And so when I was doing the talk about taking charge of your thinking, that's actually 70% of what all people say to themselves is negative. But we're so unaware of it because we continuously talk to ourselves, you know, in our own heads, and we're just used to the ongoing commentary that we're making going through and going around about life, that we are not even hearing, actually consciously, what we're saying. And so for 70% of the time we're all saying negative things to ourselves.
So true, Clara.
Then we're actually affecting our biochemistry. And so, and that actually then affects our mood. And I've got a little exercise that I would like to do with you later.
Oh, maybe. Lovely. Okay, great.
And actually all of the listeners can do this too.
Yes. Oh, gosh, what is it?
Well, it's actually how you can learn that actually you can affect your own moods.
I love it, because it's actually what we're talking about here is the skill of manifesting happiness, in a sense. And actually, this is something that's come up with hypnotherapy as well,
mm-hmm.
and that is that you are telling yourself what to think.
Yes.
So tell yourself the right stuff.
Exactly.
Not the wrong stuff,
the right stuff. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's very interesting, actually, how when because it's the old maxim that you are what you think.
Yes.
There's another one, you are what you eat.
Yes.
So the thing is, actually, I always see things very closely linked in that respect, so that all we are is a group of biochemical reactions going on all the time. You can't have a thought, you can't do an action, you can't have a reaction without there being a biochemical reaction, you know, reaction in your cells first.
So when you were telling me this exercise earlier, you said, you know, if I were to smile,
yeah,
then that would actually do what, physically?
In order to do it, you've got to have the biochemical reactions in order to smile.
So are you actually saying you're tricking your body? Your mind, I should say. It's your mind, isn't it?
Yes, but actually, is your mind tricking you, though?
Oh, no, it's messing with my marbles.
Actually, this one just rolled out there.
Oh, I love my marbles. I really love
like the pretty ones.
Oh, yeah, they're so sweet, aren't they? I still like those.
Yeah. And I like the clunk.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. But you see, that can make me happy.
Little things.
It's the little things. Glorious things.
One of the critical things I would really like to connect to the concept of happiness is kindness to yourself.
Kindness to yourself.
Kindness to others, obviously, but to yourself. Yeah. We're not kind enough to ourselves.
It's very interesting. Well, again, once you think about the 70% of things that people say to themselves being negative. And it's amazing that, I mean, there's a sort of British culture of people being down on themselves, that it's actually not a really, you know, it's sort of barely socially acceptable to say well done or that you did a good job.
Or to have any kind of larger-than-life ego. I struggle with that personally myself. I think I'm probably quite a jolly person. I don't like that word necessarily, but and that's associated to possibly having an enormous ego. And I think my ego is all right.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter, because it makes me happy.
I suppose that's a belief.
Yes, I suppose.
That you have.
Yes.
And actually, a belief is only what we say to ourselves.
Yes, that's true.
So it's never a fact. And so we can start saying things to ourselves, which if we say them often enough and they're positive, then actually eventually we'll begin to believe them. But the interesting thing is that I was saying is about actually people's focus. So 70% of what people are saying to themselves is negative. And they're going around always, so then without even particularly paying attention, they're seeing things that are wrong.
Yes.
You know, that it's a rainy day. I mean, we've had a few of them recently. But actually so few rainy days after a very beautiful, long, hot summer.
Yes.
And it's interesting where people actually immediately focus, oh, you know, it's raining.
Well, we are British, after all.
You know, but actually we've had this magnificent period of time. And so there you have people focusing on what was wrong rather than what was right. And then altering their own biochemistry, which then also alters their mood and alters all kinds of aspects of whether you can absorb your food and metabolize it properly and get enough nutrients in order to have good, healthy chemical reactions in your cells so that you actually function at your best.
I think that's quite true, Clara, and it's interesting how all those things are connected.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very interesting that the dialogue we have with ourselves
mm-hmm.
needs to be monitored and possibly readjusted accordingly, because we could be programming the wrong information into our very existence. And this, of course, impacts directly on all that we do with our lives and how we are perceived by others even, which then becomes a mirror effect.
Yeah.
And those things are critical. And you know, just before we started the show, we had a wonderful discussion, as we always
do,
darling,
don't we?
Clara.
Yes, we have such fun.
Not just about authenticity, but how... If you're feeling genuinely sad about something, obviously that's a real feeling, and you couldn't possibly just force yourself to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But you allow your sadness or your negativity, but you can use this wonderful, magical thing, and it's called humour.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, dark humour. I mean,
dark humour. All the best stand-ups use
it.
Well, these can,
and I've actually had some rather... severe tragedies in my own life, and I can
remember...
We have
to have a tragedy off later.
Should we have a tragedy?
Well, no,
oh,
not,
right.
Not on it. I promise you, my tragedies can probably match your tragedies.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're just different.
Well, they're just different, yeah. And actually it's the way that we see them. But actually, there are... And I used to work in an area when I was... my last health visiting job, I was specialist health visitor for families with children with significant disability and life-limiting illness.
Right, right.
And for a while, I managed the community children's nursing team.
How amazing.
And we actually, amongst us, I have to say, because it's a way of relieving stress, we used humour. Sometimes really... You know, I mean, if some people had maybe earwigged, they might have thought us quite insensitive. But there are times you just have to make humour in order to survive.
Absolutely. And I'd say in my critical times I've used humour exactly in that way, because
it's
there
a deflection.
Is blackness.
Yes, it's a deflection, isn't
that
it?
Can be turned into light because
of
it. And actually, it's a wonderful mechanism to bond with other people. Because what do you need when you're feeling isolated, alone, upset, confused, or anything that is associated to the negative, is connecting to your fellow man, woman.
Yes.
And that connectivity is actually critical to our human existence and the concept of happiness. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, and I think, yes, exactly, because I think, as you've just so eloquently put it...
I am so eloquent.
That typically when we are feeling very negative, we do feel very isolated.
Yes.
You know, and when people are feeling negative, they have very little eye-to-eye contact with others. They typically look down, so they don't even get the sunlight in, but actually they're just stuck in their own feelings.
Yes.
Now, when you're feeling more happy or more connected, you inevitably are looking up and out. You make eye-to-eye contact with others, and you inevitably feel connected. And that actually has enormous benefits. But can I just run through this exercise?
Oh, go on, yes, lovely. Let's do it.
Because I know you've got stuff about being in the present, and actually being in the present is really very interesting, because very often when we're feeling bloomin' miserable, we're not in the present. We're paying absolutely no attention to what is going on in our lives right now. And so this little exercise, because it's just to actually prove to everybody, show to everybody, actually how... our feelings are actually created by us.
Okay.
Okay. Right, I'd like you to think of a miserable occasion.
Oh, there's so many.
Oh, just one. Just one.
Miserable or tragic or just sad?
Just miserable. Doesn't matter. I mean, whatever it is that first comes to mind.
Okay, I've got one.
You've got one. So actually just get into the feeling of it.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you feel?
Well, I'm in the scenario and I am trying to talk myself into feeling happier, but it's not working.
Okay, and physically, how do you feel?
Exhausted, because I got up too late to try and avoid the day.
Okay, but how else does that make you, what does that do to your energy?
No energy.
No energy.
No energy.
Okay, do you feel lighter or heavier?
Heavier.
Do you feel more relaxed or more tense?
I can't answer that one, probably. I mean, I suppose I would be tense, but I can't identify that one in this scenario.
In this scenario.
Anxious.
Anxious, okay. So then how might you be...
Unsettled. I'd say unsettled would be a more realistic.
Okay, so then how are you breathing?
I never pay attention to my breathing, which is critical because it's all about mindfulness. Yeah.
Well, breathing's actually quite essential because actually we need a bit of oxygen, actually. And it makes...
We're getting on with.
But it's so interesting that the one thing that is vital for our well-being, actually, we pay no attention to how we do it.
It's amazing, isn't it?
You know. But the interesting thing probably is... Being anxious, you're breathing shallowly and
fast. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. And can you imagine, you know, what you might be noticing when you're feeling in that way?
Well, mine's Christmas Day, by the way. So
is yours Christmas? I'm not a fan.
I can't stand Christmas. But sorry, listeners, I've shared. I'm supposed to be about happiness. I've just launched us into it.
Yeah. Do you know something? I actually think if there's an honesty going on about Christmas, I think 70% of the world's population who have it thrusted down their gullet actually struggle with it.
Oh, start any day soon as well. Jingle bells.
No, stop it.
Bells.
Today's focus is on happiness.
Yes, great.
Oh, I do love Christmas carols, though.
I do too.
Yes, okay. Oh, but anyway... So now I'd like you to shift, okay, and think of the time that you're happiest.
Oh.
You know, something that a time that you really laughed.
Oh yes.
Okay, so just get into the feeling of it.
Oh yes, wonderful, with my darling best friends.
Lovely.
Hello,
okay.
Darling best friends. I love you.
Okay, so how do you feel? So no, tell me now how differently you feel.
Energetic, much more energetic, obviously. Beautiful. I feel beautiful and cherished and loved. And everything is hysterically funny because we share the same perceptions on life and how absurd it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Lovely. And so then what's your energy like?
Oh, much different, yeah.
Okay. Do you feel lighter or heavier?
Much lighter.
Okay. And do you feel more relaxed or stressed?
Oh, 100% relaxed.
Okay.
Yes.
Lovely. And do you feel that difference? You
completely and totally.
And so you did that in a mere few seconds.
Yes.
You moved from one to the other.
I did, actually, yes.
Okay, so that the only way you could feel that difference is because of the thought and the biochemical impact of that thought.
I love it, Clara.
You see, so the thing is that we have the capacity to change our...
Default. If it's sadness at any point.
Or stress, or what misery, or, you know, looking at for things being wrong. I mean, we all have examples of people who actually, you know, you put their favourite thing on a plate in front of them, or, you know, their prettiest cat, or whatever it is, and they would find... You know, something wrong. You know, the weather's not right, the wind's cold, the whatever. And there are people who actually just can prick your balloon.
They're like emotional vampires.
Yes.
So if you're happy and you know it and you're clapping your hands, they're at the back trying to pull the chair out from underneath or something. I mean, there are people like that, aren't there?
My mother was one.
Well, let's not talk about it. I've got a whole list here. But that's actually a really important point. And just as we move towards, we've got approximately 10 minutes left, I do want to talk about the effect of dealing with negativity, which may impact on your happiness, and how do you do that with respect to others and the journey they're currently on? They may be in a different place, or you might just irritate the hell out of them, you don't know, and that directly impacts on the perception you have of yourself, because your happiness is perceived as grating or irritating or just misplaced.
But then, on the other hand, you see, you might also have a little difficulty with the emotional vacuumers. You know, because you do, and it's about learning to protect yourself and putting yourself, you know, making sure that your bubble is well secured, so that you can actually have very glancing
I love the idea of being in one's bubble and feeling a sense of protection.
Yes.
In a positive white light kind of way.
Yes, definitely.
But
mm-hmm.
as a teacher, and certainly as a neurotic theatrical, I'm permanently in a state of reflection in order to progress,
yes.
in order to do well. I'm always reflecting
yep.
on
mm-hmm.
many, many things, obviously, but
mm-hmm.
the views of others in relation to myself, because I want to behave responsibly or decently or honourably or just be enjoyable to be around. So if you get people who are potentially negative
yes.
to you, you're continuously, you know, working out whether they're right or you're right, and it gets a bit confusing. You see what I mean? So if you waft around in your own bubble, are you not doing a disservice to the concept of reflection and self-improvement?
No, not at all, because the thing is actually, if you are always sort of seeking to do things to the best that you can at that any given moment.
In a kind of genuine, earnest way.
In a genuine way, of course. You know, because you will always, you know, I mean, sure, sometimes we will get things wrong. You know, but actually you can forgive yourself. This is the self-compassion.
This is the kindness thing again.
Yeah.
Yes, forgive yourself. Yeah.
You know, and it's just sort of like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe that didn't go quite so well, or it didn't go quite as I intended. But then for some people, you will recognise that actually the response that you've just got is the response that actually they give not only to you but maybe to others as well.
That's very true too, yeah.
And also there is always the thing that nobody is responsible for how other people see things and how they behave.
No.
Because we
can't
all
micromanage that, can you?
Well, you can't, because each and every one of us sort of filters our own experiences in life through our own experiences. You know, it's the sense that we make of the world that enable us to, to engage in any way. And that is true for each and every single one of us. So, yes, indeed, acceptance.
So we've been talking about acceptance as part of the process of dealing with the skill of happiness.
Well, and I quite like the next one that you've got there. So be part of something bigger.
I think it's really important to be reflective on something that's part of something larger. You are part of a larger race.
Mm.
You are part of a group of friends. You are part of a family. You are part of something.
Mm-hmm.
But you really must always know that you're connected. And I know when I have children who get upset in the school context, I always try to remind them of that connection, that interconnectivity. You are never alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you will always have some kind of support. You will always have that,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the context or circumstance, outside school or even in school. There are always people to connect with. And I think that's so important for mental well-being and a sense of believing in happiness.
Mm.
Direction is a critical one as well, because the meaning of life, where are you going? All worrying about who you're going to be, how it's going to come about, if you don't achieve all the things you want to achieve, will you have failed, you know, and therefore you can't possibly be happy. But you spoke
mm-hmm.
very early on about how, you know, happiness is a state of mind, whether you are at your definitive version of attainment or whether you are, no matter where you are on that journey, at the beginning, the middle, the end, or maybe, you know, you're at the end of your life and you haven't attained what you wanted to do. How would you advise anyone about happiness there? It's really difficult, isn't it? Because the ego is involved.
But it's about, instead of, I mean, I imagine that for some people, it's the glass half full, glass half empty thing, really. Because, you know, inevitably there is always more that we could or could have done. That's a fact. But we've actually always done, you know, unless we've sat on a sofa and actually maybe done very little, you know, done little else than sit on a sofa.
Yeah.
We have done, you know, from the micro to the macro.
Oh, I love that.
We've done, and for some people, the micro is the macro.
Mm.
For somebody
I've got a good one.
To have learnt, you know, I don't mean to just make a cake, but for somebody to, you know, that actually they may think, well, you know, I mean, I do so little, but they make beautiful cakes, or actually they're just really sweet, lovely people who pay attention to others.
I
I've got to jump up and down here and put my hand up. I'm putting my hand up like in class. Clara, when I used to get really, really down on myself, I used to say to myself, I live a small life in a big way.
Okay.
Not a big life in a small way.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually really quite important, because living a life in a small way, you are noticing all the beautiful details and all the things that can have meaning and depth, resonance.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily have to travel the world or,
you know.
Become a celebrity, or which obviously attached to my particular profession seems to be the ultimate achievement. When these days, celebrity, what does it mean?
We were discussing that one earlier.
Yeah. So, but we're drawing to an end here. And I do actually think we should pray, see, just for the lovely ladies and possibly the odd gent out there, our conclusions on happiness.
Well, what we know is that everybody can really truly choose to focus and find what is right in the world, their world. You know, there's always something that you can focus on and find that is right, that without doubt, doesn't matter where you are, what kind of disaster you may be in, those who survive well will be those who actually are able to find something.
Resilience. Focused. You must find ways to bounce back, people. Bounce back.
There's always, the choice. It is about choosing to actually recognise connection.
Connection with the right people.
Yes.
Like, I know my connection with you is the most positive, wondrous thing.
And likewise. Ah,
lovely. And that actually fuels my happiness.
Yes,
as
it does.
My relationship with my friends do as well. And so find those connections
and
around
that,
yourself with the right people.
And even those that you're not so sure of, think of the right bits about them as well, because it's always the thing, you know, you can walk along the street and it might be full of litter, but actually there will be
little gems,
little absolutely beautiful precious gems
hiding in the autumn leaves.
Hiding in the autumn. And also find some humour in your life, actually. And for some people who find humour difficult, go on YouTube if you can and sift until you find little episodes of things that will actually just make you cackle.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's quite simple. We want to leave it simple for people, because actually, when you're happy, actually life is simpler. It's not a difficult. Life isn't difficult when you're happy.
I think that's absolutely critical and a really important point to end on. Keep it simple, people.
Yes. So we're sorry to be leaving you, and we're going to be seeing you or speaking with you next Monday. And until then, loads of love and goodbye.